around the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
There's a first time for everything, and Backdime zooms in on these premier events that debuted on October 1st. In 1960, Elvis Presley first arrived in Germany as U.S. Army Private No. 5331-0761. Here's 1962. Tonight was the first night Johnny Carson succeeded Jack Parr as host of the NBC Tonight Show. And on this date in 1980, Robert Redford became the first man to appear alone on the cover of Ladies' Home Journal. That's Back Time for October 1st. This is your announcer speaking.
A cocky attempt to operate an ATM in Spanish backfires. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. A routine stop at an automated teller machine went wrong last night when Scott Tifton failed to withdraw cash after overconfidently pressing the Spanish language option button. Hoping the risky foreign language cash withdrawal would amuse or impress his girlfriend, Tifton admitted that he only succeeded in opening the deposit slot.
Figured how hard could it be? I took Spanish in high school and I used the ATM like every other day, so I thought I could do it from memory. Turns out I was wrong.
Tifton placed the blame for his ATM mishap squarely on the culture, history, and language of the subhuman Spanish people. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it.
Get that monster fired! Yeah.
So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single-finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
And now, from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, October 1st.
Oh my God, already?
Yes, do you believe it?
No.
Well, I've been waiting for October, so it's finally here.
Why have you been waiting for October?
I don't know, because there's a lot of things happening in October, I think. I don't know. It just seems like there are.
Not cooler weather, that's for sure. It's been so freaking hot.
It's another scorcher out there today.
Oh my God, yeah. It was miserable yesterday.
It really was, you know. Yeah, yesterday was really, really hot.
Serious swass going on.
Yeah, and I mean, till 10 o'clock at night, too, you know. It didn't really cool off or anything.
And I made the mistake, well, live and learn, like, with new houses and stuff. I made the mistake of keeping my window, like, wide open so I would get, like, some fresh air in.
Uh-huh.
As I went to bed at, like, 1 o'clock, I was out studying. But at 5:45 this fucking morning, the garbage truck comes up, like, directly under my window. And I swear, Sam, it was for half an hour.
Really?
Just doing all of its freaking garbage truck noises. I was going to kill it, and my window was wide open, so it just woke me right up. I'm like, no.
And, you know, on my street, for some reason, every time the garbage trucks come, they're so loud and vibrating that all the alarms start going off.
Yes. That happened, too. Why is that?
You know? Yeah. I mean, it's fucking crazy, and they come so early in the morning, too, you know?
I've never heard, well, I guess I've lived in good places, because I've never, ever, ever had a garbage truck disturb me in my entire life.
Really?
It was the most unpleasant awakening I think I've ever experienced.
I know. They don't give a shit, you know?
No.
Or those gardeners that show up at 7 o'clock in the morning
with their lawnmowers. Yes, I have that at my old apartment.
With their blowers and shit, you know?
They and their don't weed whacker, like, right next to your ear.
Yeah, you know?
Why can't people wake up at a decent hour, like, 10 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Actually, that doesn't make sense. Never mind.
So, did you take your exam?
My statistics or no?
Well, you said you were going to have another exam this week, didn't you?
Oh, my stats one is on Monday, so I'm actually preparing in advance this time, so I don't get an F like I did last time.
Yeah.
I didn't really tell anyone on the air last time because I know some of my family members listened and I didn't want anyone to know I got an F, but fuck it. I got a fucking F. So, yeah, that's why I've been
preparing. Did you study at all?
I have been studying. The test isn't until Monday.
No, but that F you had.
I studied. Well, the problem with the F, it wasn't that I couldn't learn the material or that I'm dense by any means, although I am sometimes. I didn't do any preparation for it leading up to the exam. And so the day before, the test was on a Wednesday, I spent all day Tuesday, 9 hours.
Oh, you were cramming
and stuff. I've never crammed like that before for statistics. And apparently everyone I talk to, they're like, you can't cram for statistics. No. They're like, oh, no, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Because it's just so time consuming and figuring out all the calculations to do and figuring out all the formulas. And so, yeah, cramming was just a bad, bad, bad idea.
Yeah. No, I discovered in college, if you follow and you do the assignments and everything, you don't even have to study for the test. You just kind of like go through, just kind of skim through it or something, you know. And yeah, I never had that problem because it didn't work. You know, cramming never worked for me, you know.
That's what they've always said, but I've never believed it because I've always just been on top of my game and I've somehow always managed to come out on top.
Yeah.
And so this was like a really rude awakening, especially because my fucking professor's a commie asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But I have to tell you the most amazing thing that happened to me this week, or I feel like the weekend just happened. on Monday night, actually. Mm-hmm. So I bring Franzi and his dad to the airport. You know, I say my goodbyes.
Aww.
Oh, I'm so sad my boyfriend's gone.
Crying and everything, going.
Well, I didn't really cry at first, because at first, once I got him to the airport, I was like, sweet. I was like, what the hell am I going to do now? I'm going to go get drunk. So I was so fucking excited. So I call all my friends and I'm like, where are we going out? Let's go dancing tonight. Because you had canceled the radio show the next day, too. So I was like, I can get hammered. I can sleep in. It'll be perfect. And so I was really excited. So all of a sudden, I look down at my gas tank and I'm running out of gas. I'm like, okay, I'll stop and get gas.
Mm-hmm.
No wallet.
No wallet.
I lost my wallet.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck is right. I mean, my life is in my wallet, as everyone's is. But, you know, it doesn't have my correct address on it. It's got some old house that I lived in.
Wait, did you lose it or did you leave it at the house?
No, well...
You didn't know...
I didn't know why, and I had barely any gas in my car at this point. Yeah. But I'd stopped at Rite Aid before to get a box of wine, you know, in preparation for my...
Yeah, fuck a bottle. Give you a box.
You get 6 bottles in a fucking box, man. Don't knock it. You know?
Yeah, and you down it in one evening.
No, I can usually make it last for like 2.
2?
Okay. You know, this is 6 bottles of wine we're talking about in this box.
I know. But you said you could down 4, I guess, in an evening. So
I can. A box actually isn't that far-fetched either.
How the fuck can you drink so much? I would just puke from the taste.
No, it's good.
Ahead.
It's good. But so I went back to Rite Aid. Rite Aid was closed where I got my box of wine. Then I went back to my Venice apartment where I picked up Franz and his dad. And no wallet. So I'm checking all over the street because I had thrown it like in my bag, just like the plastic bag from Rite Aid, in my car. And then when Franz and his dad hopped into the car, all the bags got shuffled around.
Oh.
So I'm like, maybe it fell out of the car. But so now my wonderful evening out partying was ruined. I had no ID.
Wow.
I had no credit card. You know, and you can't get into a bar or a club without your ID these days.
Yeah.
So I was fucked. I was so pissed off. So I went home with my box of wine and I drank it by myself. It was quite miserable and finally passed out.
Yeah.
But so then yesterday, you know, we had the whole day off and I was canceled from nannying because they're out of town visiting grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally had the whole day off and I had to spend the whole day running around canceling credit cards, going to get a new temporary card from Bank of America.
Wow, what a pain.
But I have to tell you the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
So, and this guy is actually, he's supposed to be listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
I knew a guy would fit in here somewhere. Go ahead.
Trust me, it's not like that.
Oh, okay.
Well, kind of is. But so at 8 o'clock last night, I was at my Venice apartment trying to clean things up, you know, and still like pissed off that I had no wallet. And I got a phone call from a weird number, so I don't pick it up. I check the message, and it's like some Iranian man or something, some weird accent I can't understand really well.
Uh-huh.
But finally, I hear him say, Suzanne, this is your dry cleaner. This is your dry cleaner, Suzanne. And I'm like, what the fuck is my dry cleaner doing calling me at 8 o'clock at night, this weird freaky guy?
Yeah.
But apparently, some homeless man, I take that back. He lives in a sleeper van. So apparently he found my wallet on Abbot Kinney, which is a street in Venice where my other house is. And he couldn't find any identifying information aside from my ID, which had my really old address.
Right.
So he called my dry cleaner and made the dry cleaner like look up the ticket ID to get my information to get in touch with me. But so My dry cleaner was like, you know, you need to call this guy if this is true, but I didn't want to give him your number. And so I'm like, all right, this is cool. Mm-hmm. So I call the guy, and he's like, oh, I live in an RV down in Marina Del Rey. And I'm like, great. I'm like, I'll ride my bike over and pick it up right now. And he's like, well, actually, it's not an RV. It's more of a sleeper van. And I'm like, okay. Trust me, Sam, by the time I got there, it was not a sleeper van. It was a rapist van.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, it was scary.
Really?
Yes. Wow.
So how did your wallet end up on the street?
I guess in the shuffle of, like, throwing all of, like, you know, reorganizing the contents of my car, including my box of wine and everything else, getting Franz and his dad into the car, it somehow got thrown out of the car.
Wow. So this guy finds it, then he takes it to the dry cleaner.
No, he tracks it down, like, by calling the dry cleaner.
Right. I mean, that's amazing.
I know.
You know, it would have been so much simpler for him just to take the money or to just leave it, you know.
Exactly.
Something. You know.
But apparently he likes the way I looked in my driver's license picture.
So he hoped he would get some.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But so I got to the van, and, you know, it's parked on a dark side street, and I talked to Franz right before this, and he's like, I really don't think you should be going to this van, like, by yourself in the middle of the night. Like, it's 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, it was at night.
Yeah, it's pitch blackout.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, yeah, I'm parked in an alley. He's like, you know, just pull into the alley and beep your horn. And I'm like, okay, this is sounding kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
But,
well, did it occur to you to take someone with you?
It did, but at that point it was late, you know. Mm-hmm. Everyone, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't really have any friends that I felt like bothering in that particular area, and I didn't really want to wait until any later because I wanted to get to my study group. So, yes, it did, but...
Plus, you have big balls, so you're not afraid
of these
things.
I got big balls, big cojones.
Yeah.
So, big hairy ones. No, I'm just kidding. I really don't.
Did you ever see those rubber balls hanging from...
Fucking cars?
From the trunk?
Yes. I saw one on the Mexico bike ride hanging from underneath the seat.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny?
No, it's disgusting. The guys that have those
make them hairy too.
Oh, it's disgusting. You know what? Next time I see them, I'm going to actually take scissors and snip them right off.
Yeah.
Take that. Imagine what that would feel like to your real balls.
Oh, ugh. Yeah, don't mention that.
But let me finish the scary story.
Yeah.
So then, the guy was like, before he gives me my wallet back, I'm like...
So wait, you walk up to the van and you knock on it or something?
No, the door was open. He told me his name was Rich, so I was like, Rich, and he's like, yep. And he's like, whoa, hi, Susie. And I was like, hi. I was like, you have my wallet, right? And he's like, yep, I sure do. And then he's like, what do you do? And I was like, well, I have a radio show in the morning called Sam and Susie in the Morning at latalkradio.com. And so he's like, let me write this down. So he starts writing it down. And then he gets out his computer and he's like, why don't you come in here and, like, type in the address? I'm like, fuck you, dude. I'm not crawling into your rapist van and typing in the address. And he's like, I didn't get it right. Can you come fix it? I'm like, latalkradio.com. Like, you know, get it right, buddy.
Here, so, you're having this discussion in the middle of the night outside a van.
I have my bicycle, you know, like, between me and this van. You know, because he's probably, like, I don't know, 50s.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit heavier set, like, scraggly beard. Not really, well, not beard. Kind of like, I don't know. I would say, like, 6 days not shaven.
Okay.
But so anyway, I was like, thank you so much, you know, and he's like, I'm going to listen to this show, and I was like, I hope you do. I was like, you're my guardian angel, you found my wallet, you saved my life, like, seriously. I had things I couldn't replace in there, like my military ID that I used to get out of speeding tickets, you know, very important things. But so then I go to shake his hand, and he gets up, and he pulls me into a bear hug.
Oh, my God. Did you, like, freak out?
I kind of freaked out, especially because the six-day-old stubble, all of a sudden, it was, like, nuzzling in my neck, and I felt him go... and just inhale, like, deep, and it, while it's
the,
like,
scent of a woman,
while he's, like, grizzling my neck, I still have chills again right now. And I was like, okay, thank you, as his hand is, like, kind of, like, cupping the side of my breast. He definitely got side boob.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, thank you, and I hop on my bike and I pedal away, and I just had chills all the way down to the boardwalk. I'm like, ugh.
Wow. Susie,
oh, I know.
That came at a high price. Yeah.
But wow. I have my wallet back, you know. I couldn't believe that. What are the odds of that happening, though?
I know. You're really lucky.
I mean, I even checked. I went back to the Rite Aid the next day, and they're like, nope, no wallet. And I even went, and I, like, looked in the garbage can. I was like, maybe someone took the money and the credit cards and just, like, threw it in here.
Mm-hmm.
But
can you believe, God forbid, if you got raped or something?
Oh.
You know? I mean, for your wallet, for crying out loud.
Oh, yay.
God, Susie, you got, you know, You're too fucking trusting. You really have to be careful.
Well, that was another thing, because in my wallet, I have long blonde hair. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as he saw the picture, he's like, wow. He's like, I like girls with short hair. He's like, I'm going to call into the radio show and have that be a topic. Girls with short hair. And I'm like, oh. Sam would have something to say about that. He likes girls with long hair.
That's funny.
But it turns out he's an artist, too. Like, I stayed there probably for, like, 45 minutes.
Really?
Like, this wasn't just, like, a quick thing. You know, because he had my wallet, and I didn't want to be like, okay, give me the goods. I got to go.
Yeah.
But,
That's funny.
I know. Yeah. But he's an artist, and he did, he's like, let me give you a sample of my work. And his work was actually really, really cool. But it's something he did in 1984. I guess it was, like, a long exposure or something, like, going from Rose Avenue on the Venice Boardwalk all the way to Windward Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a picture, a black and white picture, on a film strip,
mm-hmm.
Like, of the entire boardwalk, which was really, really long, but, like, the size of a whole thing of film.
Really?
So it was really kind of pretty, and it was kind of symbolic because I'm moving away from Venice and the boardwalk.
But this is ironic because we have a guest here who's also an unusual artist and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, and that's going to be pretty cool.
Today we have
one. Yeah, in fact, you'll see how close you are to what he does, you know, when you're talking about putting film, like, outdoors and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, very cool.
Watch that. Yeah, it sounded, like, very interesting, so I wanted to have him come in. So
excellent.
That's our guest for today. And
But crazy
so
shit,
you,
man.
Yeah, so you got your wallet back. But now you canceled all the fucking credit cards. So what are you
doing? I know. But, you know, I have my license back and all that other good shit, and I don't know.
Yeah.
And it was an expensive wallet. That was worth being raped, please.
Yeah, well, they'll teach you not to put it in fucking bags anymore.
I know.
Women tend to choose to lose their wallets all the time.
I shouldn't say never, but I don't think, I can't remember if I've ever lost my wallet before.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think ever. I mean, I always have it attached to me. It's amazing. I mean, it is everything else. But certainly not that. I wanted to ask you, I was when I was driving furiously here today, my GPS got me lost like 3 times and I had to backtrack.
What?
That's another story.
Wow.
But did you hear about the shark attack in Marina Del Rey?
No.
I was listening to it on the news this morning. I guess it was like last night or 2 nights ago. Some guy was swimming in the water with his dog. He has like a little terrier of some sort.
Right.
And he saw an open mouth shark like swimming towards his dog.
Really?
And the shark chomps down on the dog and the dog's freaking out. And so the guy swims over and starts beating the shit out of the shark.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't how they said it on the other terrestrial radio.
They didn't quite use those words.
No, they're beating the fucking shit out of the shark. Bam, bam. The guy, like, got the shark to let go of the dog, and the dog just has, like, severe puncture wounds.
Oh, my God.
But in Marina del Rey, do you know how close that is?
I know.
That's, like right there.
Yeah. I wonder how a shark got there.
It swam.
Yeah. But it is, I think the water is pretty deep there because there's a marina and stuff, right? So,
I don't care.
I think it got to that place where the boats leave.
I want
to
put my feet up right now. I'm scared there's going to be a shark in here. I'm like a little girl
There used to be a ground shark on Saturday Night Live, like way back when. It was like Chevy Chase and stuff. And so
he's too fat to be a ground shark.
Well, he wasn't at the time.
Uh-oh.
But that was around the time of Jaws, I guess. So he would knock on people's doors and pretend he's a flower delivery man or something, or a pizza delivery man. And
and
then they'd open the door and he'd just bite him.
I would freak
that
out.
That was funny.
I'm petrified of sharks or anything biting me. A ground shark. I turn into like a little girl. Like, I can't have my foot even hanging off my bed when I sleep at night because I'm afraid, not necessarily a ground shark, but maybe something.
Something crawling?
Something crawling and slithering will
like your lizard?
Like my lizard, no. They go to sleep at night.
You can stay in the lizard and you're afraid of other things bumping in the night.
I've got a whole thing of like mealworms in my room right now too.
Yeah.
You would want to vomit if you saw
this
thing.
I probably would.
It's like Fear Factor, like they're all like swarming all over each other and they're just like writhing and slithering.
Yeah.
And I just stick my hand right in there and they're like gripping onto me and I throw them into the lizards.
Yeah. Well, I almost puked when I came in here this morning because this place looked like a fucking tornado has been through it.
What is there to really mess up here? I don't understand.
That microphone was over here, and all the headphones were like, you know, tangled and shit, and chairs all over the place. It seemed like
almost. That's why someone, you gave me like a death look when I walked in.
Well, I gave you a death look because I don't understand why you have to push it like to the just the right, you know. And I'll tell you why you why
I should
you do
have been
this.
Here half an hour early today. I got up half an hour early. My GPS, I still haven't found a way down here from my new house.
Well, you won't have to come here anymore.
I know.
Right? Okay, yes. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Okay.
But, the thing is, it depends what time you shoot for, you know?
I shot for 8:30. I wanted to have breakfast. I'm fucking pissed. I almost came even later because I was like, you know what? I'm fucking hungry. I'm going to... Fuck that. I want food. My stupid GPS is not my fault.
Yeah.
So I did shoot for 8:30, and I should have been here earlier.
Yeah. Well, the new studio is going to be closer.
Really?
To you, yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, you just... In fact, you can just take Beverly Glen and...
The other way?
Yeah.
I've never taken it the other way.
Yeah.
Where does it go?
You don't even have to go on the 405, you know, you just... Are you close to Beverly Glen and stuff?
I'm on Beverly Glen.
Yeah, so you just take that into the valley, and then it's about 3 miles from there once you're in the valley.
That's... Oh, that's so exciting.
I know, it's really exciting.
Wait, it's only 3 miles from there?
Yeah, from once you're on Ventura Boulevard from Beverly Glen, it'll take you about 3-4 miles.
Oh, I'll ride my bike every day.
Yeah, well, but Beverly Glen's pretty steep.
That's okay.
Yeah, you don't mind it.
I have an ass of steel.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Row.
Okay, so for those of you who are wondering why we were not here yesterday, it's because I decided to leave here a month early because I found this beautiful place in Studio City. Appropriately enough, since we have a studio, right? So we'll be in Studio City. And it's just an amazing place, you know. So I thought we would leave or move yesterday, but the place wasn't ready yet. So it was just a wasted day, I guess, for the host and stuff. But tomorrow, for sure, we're going to move. So we'll have another day of replays and stuff. Although, you know, yesterday, since we did move, some hosts actually did end up coming in and doing shows. So that was pretty cool. And so I'm really, really fucking excited about this.
I am too. I can't wait.
I mean, okay, you see the office we have here?
Yep.
Okay, each of the studios is larger than this.
How many?
And we have two studios in there.
Awesome.
There's a control room. There's going to be an office and reception area.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who's going to be at the reception area?
Me? No. No receptionist yet, but it'll be like our green room. That's where the guests wait, you know?
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah, I know. So it's really nice.
And there's parking in the back, too.
Parking in the back, in the front, everywhere.
Fuck downtown.
There's a spa downstairs, you know, under us so we can take massages and shit. And,
ooh.
Yeah, I mean, all of Ventura Boulevard is full of so much stuff, you know, great things to eat. Massages, you know, anything you can think of.
I'm really excited,
so,
man. This is going to be so cool.
I mean, it'll be a place where you can just hang out. You know, it's not like you finish your show and have to run out. Some people like actually talking to other people and stuff, you know. So that'll be... Oh, yeah.
No way.
Fuck you. So we'll have like a place. So I'm planning maybe Saturday afternoon, we'll have all the hosts come over and we'll have like a housewarming party or something, you know.
Very cool.
That should be nice.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yay.
Yeah, we're going to have a new studio. There's huge windows also, although we're not going to sit up above like this.
But, that's all right.
But I think we got this view out of our system. You know, I think we can move on now.
I spend more time looking at you than I do looking at the view.
Oh, how nice of you.
I know.
It's the sweetest thing I heard all day.
Aww.
Okay, we've got a phone call. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Oh, it's Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Judy. You know
hello?
Judy?
Judy is my dad's girlfriend.
Oh, hello, Judy.
Hi. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
What were you guys talking about?
Were you calling from Las Vegas, I suppose?
Yes, Walmart in Las Vegas.
Oh, Walmart. Okay, it sounded like the airport or something.
I know, you're at Wally World. What are you doing there?
No. Walmart, looking for storage containers. Doing a little light organizing.
Well, why don't you pick up a couple extra, because I've got some shit I need to store at your house when I come up next weekend.
Are you serious?
Oh, yes.
How many boxes?
Maybe two would be good.
Okay. We have stuff that we got to it for sure.
Yeah. So, Judy, I mean, the big question is, what the hell are you doing at Walmart and suddenly calling a radio station? What prompted you to do it?
Because I wanted to find out why Susie couldn't come in earlier on Friday. Because we're having a dinner party.
Oh. Well, I have to work. Some of us have to work, Judy. Not all of us can be unemployed like you.
are you working? I mean, aside from the radio station.
Absolutely. What do you think I do all day? Sit around with her.
She works in school.
I've got school, and I've got three different jobs on top of this.
You can't fool Judy.
You ride your bike, you go to school, and flirt a lot.
I do flirt a lot,
and
you're
do
right.
Activity. Sam, has Susie ever told you all the injuries she's done to all her boyfriends?
You mean physical or emotional?
Physical.
No.
Most of Susie's boyfriends end up with broken legs or being rushed to the emergency room.
She's lying. I've only caused a couple car accidents before.
No, what about what's-his-face? The English one that's really...
Oh,
that
James.
We all like.
Oh, James. Yeah, James. I broke his arm.
What happened to him?
Okay, well, let her talk. Let her tell us.
No, I tried to take him snowboarding, and he didn't learn fast enough, so I taught him the hard way. I could push him down the hill, goddammit. And he snapped his arm in half.
Did you see what it was like the next day?
Wait, what?
In the hospital with Ross Perot or something?
Yeah, and then I was skiing with Ross Perot the next day.
Yeah.
Oh, how do you remember all these
Perot?
Things?
Ross Perot?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He wanted me to move to Texas and take care of his camels.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Really?
His kids gave him, I don't know, I forget, one or two camels for Christmas, kind of as a joke.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, what the fuck do I do with a camel? I don't know how to take care of it. And I was skiing with him that day, because I know him.
How would you ski with fucking Ross Perot?
These things actually happen.
Really? Well, I know. Susie doesn't lie.
A huge mansion at the time.
Yeah.
Not quite house-sitting, but...
Living.
Doing something. Yeah, living there.
Yeah.
Like a $10 million mansion, I was quote-unquote house-sitting because it was my best friend from boarding school's parents' family home, and no one lived there, and I had dropped out of school, and I had nothing to do. So I just kind of was like, oh, I'll take the Range Rover, you know, I'll take the house.
And then there's a time where we went to Beaver Creek to hang out with Susie, and she got us like a $1,000 suite for like $50 or something like that. Remember that? That was pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, boy, you're outing her completely. Judy, let's...
Oh, Susie, you know what we're doing? We're going ski shooting when you come.
I know, I can't wait, I'm so excited. Wait, this is not this Saturday, it's next Saturday, right?
Right.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Yeah.
I will get my skeet shooting hands ready.
Now, Judy, we need to turn the spotlight on you for a second. How long have you been with Susie's dad?
8 years.
8 years. Wow.
8 wonderful years.
And where did you meet?
I was bartending.
Bartending? Where, in Vegas?
No, in New York, in a private cigar bar. You guys have one in L.A., Grand Havana Room?
Grand Havana Room.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know we had one out here.
Yeah, there's one in L.A., too.
Really?
Very
okay.
Cool.
So
well,
I'm bartending there.
Yeah.
And he was really nice. And then we started skiing, and he was like wanted to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we would just do stuff, and then I don't know.
And then you just did stuff.
I never knew you were bartending at the Grand Havana Room.
Yes.
That's where Jason Priestley plays pool, and Dad always used to play pool with Jason Priestley from 90210. And I always wanted him to get me a date, and Dad never would.
Yeah.
Bastard.
There are tons of people. I mean, there's like, last time I went up there, like, I'm walking in, Giuliani opens the door for me. I'm like, oh, thank you, Mr. Giuliani.
Ah, that's nice. That's
really
nice.
Fun.
Wow. Yeah, well, so your dad scored big time. Are you pretty hot?
Yeah, I am. No, I'm kidding.
She's definitely pretty hot.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to imagine you are, so you can at least humor us, you know? Wow. And so there must be a big age difference, right?
There's 18 years.
Oh, that's all. 18 years.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
yeah, but he acts kind of 12. He looks like student. Yeah. You know? So he's not, he doesn't take life all that seriously either. It's not,
Wow.
It's fun. Like, actually, I was married before and stuff like that, but, like, the guys that were my age, they never even wanted to do anything. Like, they, you know, it's bar scene or this. They talk about doing stuff, but they don't really do stuff.
Yeah. So that's where Susie got it.
Stuff.
Your dad likes to do a lot of stuff.
Lots
huh?
of stuff. Always,
yeah.
always
so
golfing or biking or skiing.
Yeah.
And
right. Always running
tubing.
Away from something.
Just very excited
okay, so
about life.
This is where Susie gets it from, the crazy stuff that she does. Okay, so we go tubing on the Esopus in New York, and you're in these big, huge, like, tractor trailer inner tubes, like a wooden bottom, right? And so the guides tell you, they say, everything's great, but, you know, there's some rapids and there's some trees down. down on your left, and you'll see a sign, and it says get out. And you just get out, and you walk around that bit, and, you know, it's only like a 10 or 15-minute walk. And then just get back in the river. So I'm like, okay, Dennis, here's the sign. Let's get out. He's like, yeah, we're not getting out. I'm like, yeah, we're getting out. He's like, no, 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 no. Not only did we not get out and go through this, and I nearly lost my life, we went back and did it again.
And what else were you guys doing, like, a couple weekends ago? You called me from, like, Arizona, and you were four-wheeling, and you, like, blew up the four-wheeler.
That was the most fun thing I've done in 4 years. we, in Sedona, Arizona, there's, you can rent these Tom cars, they call them, and ATV vehicles. Mm-hmm. And they just give you a map, and you just go on the trails yourself. So, like, there's no guide, which is great. So I was with Dennis, and then his friend, Rich Mazzella, who we call Mozzarella. And so
Mozzarella.
We had an ATV, and then we had a Tom car. And we beat the shit out of these things. It was so much fun. We went as fast as we could. I was screaming at the top of my lungs because I swore
these are grown adults here we're talking about, acting like they're 12. They actually, my dad's credit card ended up getting, like, charged, I think, for the whole price of one of the ATVs because Judy, like, fucked it up so badly. Wait, did you fuck yours up?
I thought the ATV was more like a wave runner. So, you know, you'd, like, gun it and everything, and I was doing really good. So I was going, like, 25 miles per hour, and I hit, I almost lost it before, but then finally I did hit a pothole. It flipped all the way up in there and landed on me, and it felt like someone, a 400-pound man, hit me with a paddle on the ass. And so Dennis and Rich come running up behind me. They're like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, just shut up. I'm in shock right now. Yeah. So anyway, okay. I'm black and blue and bleeding on all down my right side, but the clay from all the mud just fills it in. So I was like, fine. So now we realize the ATV is now, the crash bar is kind of bent. So when we get back to the ATV place, we're like, okay, Judy, just you get in the car and we'll just turn in the vehicles. Fine. 2 days later,
they tried to hide it.
Judy, you're killing me. Can you make this a little shorter? I mean, get to the point, you know?
I don't talk to you that often, so, you know?
No, yeah, I know, but there's more interesting things. Like, for example, I estimate that Susie's dad has to be in his early to mid-50s.
So, 60s.
Early.
Oh, really?
Isn't he 60?
I think he's 61.
I thought he was older than that. But okay.
Oh, okay.
No, he's 60. He's a minute in his. Yeah, okay. He's 61, I think.
All right. So you're in your early 40s, which is.
I'm 43.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, so you mean I still have a chance of getting someone 20 years younger than I am?
I thought your wife listened to this.
It doesn't matter. I'm just talking about the chance that I would have. I'm not saying I would do it, but
you're talking about getting in trouble when you go home tonight.
No, that's yeah. Well, whatever, you know. But I need to say
you're
what
gonna
I
be,
feel.
You're going
to
be spanked when you get home for being a bad boy.
Why do you want to trade in your tires for new ones? Younger doesn't mean better.
No, it doesn't. It just means fresher and more tender.
Not necessarily.
Well, yeah, it depends.
I don't know about all that.
But that's my fantasy anyway.
Typical guy.
Yeah. All right. Judy, well, all the best to you. How many degrees in Vegas today? 115 or something?
It's actually beautiful. It's about 92 right now.
Oh,
not
wow. That's cooler than ours.
It was 92 here yesterday, and it was miserable.
Yeah.
But there's no humidity. It's a dry heat.
Yeah, I know. I keep hearing that bullshit. I lived there twice, okay? I would sweat like crazy, so don't talk to me about dry heat. It
really?
Doesn't really matter.
You're just a sweaty, sweaty boy.
Yeah, yeah. But okay, Judy, go back shopping at Walmart. And, yeah, our Walmarts here are a dive. Yeah.
I've never been to one here.
Yeah, we'll call you later. Bye, Judy.
Bye.
Okay. So that's Susie's stepmother.
No, they're not married.
Oh, they're not married.
No.
Oh, that's right. She's his girlfriend.
They're never going to get married.
No, huh?
No.
Yeah, what for?
They both say, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Exactly. You know, I mean,
and they were both married before and had, like, disastrous marriages. Well,
yeah, you know, I mean, if you're not going to build a family and have kids and stuff, what are you going to get married for, you know?
Tax purposes.
Yeah. Either that or because your girlfriend makes you.
Good point.
Talks you into it.
She doesn't want to either. But yeah. Actually, it's kind of funny because my dad always like thanks me, and he's like, "Thank you, Susie, because you prepared me for Judy as my girlfriend." Because like she's, I swear to God, sometimes she reminds me of a little puppy dog. Like we'll go on a ski vacation, we're out all night getting hammered, and you know, go to sleep at like 1 a.m. She fucking bounces onto my bed at 5 a.m. She's like, wake up, let's go skiing, let's go do this. And I'm like, oh my God, for Christ's sake, don't you ever calm down and relax and just want to sleep? And she's like, no, let's go. She's the one that led my sister and me into Death Valley when we almost died.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. So you have her to thank for almost killing me. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So she's pretty active too. She likes to do things.
She's really active. She's a lot of fun. She definitely is.
And your dad still likes to do a lot of things, and he's still very active.
Nonstop. That's cool. We're all go people all the
time.
Yeah,
that's cool. You know, you stay young in your mind, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. Wow. Awesome. So we started talking when she called about the move and stuff, right? Is that what we were talking about? So So it's gonna. So like I said, the studios are gonna be like so much bigger than this, you know. And
does it come furnished with things?
It does have some furniture, but the furniture, I'm only keeping like the reception area because they have like a glass chrome table which looks really nice.
Okay.
And but the rest is like all oak stuff, like an attorney's office. So I figured, nah, you guys can take this, you know, and because it looks very like new and contemporary, you know, all hardwood floors and stuff, you know, and
cool.
Yeah, so it's really nice.
I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah.
So we're not having a show tomorrow.
No shows tomorrow at all. Not only ours.
But so I'm going out tonight.
Yeah. Susie likes
you,
that.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's okay. You can take a day off every day. We'll just pretend it's Sam and Susie at home.
Sam and Susie in bed. We can wake up and have our cup of coffee in bed.
There you go, you know, just talk on the phone.
News. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so, and it's close for a lot of people, you know, because many people live in the valley. So, and the ones that don't, it's still close. I mean, downtown seems to be far for everybody, you know. And this morning it took me like 50 minutes to get here, and I thought, I'm not going to miss this drive, let me tell you. Mm. No more falling asleep at the wheel, you know?
That's so freaking dangerous. I hate when you tell me that, because I see the way you look when your eyes, like, glaze off here, and you're just like, and you're about to fucking fall asleep here. So yeah. I could just imagine you behind the road. I mean, it's worse than me driving with my knee, smoking a cigarette, texting, and picking my nose at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, you know? But when you run a business, you know, and it is, like, 5 minutes for me, for my house, and
the new place?
Yeah. And yeah, and I mean,
that's going to save you so much of your life.
It is. You know, I mean, I figured that I'm wasting an hour and a half on the freeways at least every day. That's if I only go to work and back. And yeah, and plus the fact is sometimes I have to come back in the middle of the day. There's no way I'm going to drive all the way downtown here again after I was here this morning just to take care of something small. You know, there I can just come and go. We'll have an area to work in and stuff like that, you know, so it's always going to be fun. There's always going to be
a
lot of action.
Can we set up a hammock somewhere?
You want a hammock? Well, have a hammock too. Why the fuck not? What the hell? You know, we'll make it anything we want.
Yay.
So we'll be there for...
It'll be my new home away from home.
Yeah, and we're stuck there for at least a couple of years now.
A couple years?
Yeah.
How many years did you sign the damn lease for?
2 years.
Did you really?
Yeah, I didn't have a choice. They wanted at least 3. But I told him, I said, we might grow out of this, which I know we will, in 2 years. You betcha. Yeah, I mean, look how much we've grown in 8 months. Mm-hmm. Imagine 2 years.
I know. You know. Have you done Google Analytics or whatever that
yes,
is?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Someone was telling me about that yesterday.
Yeah, but it's a very basic statistics program, like to figure out who comes to your site, how long they spend. Yeah, I do that all the time. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen, but I send the numbers every month and stuff. You know, you must have seen
I think
that.
You did. I think I got it on my cell phone, though, and, like, it comes up really small, and it was, like, very difficult for me to, like, try and figure out through there.
I see. Okay.
So it was kind of a pain.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, yeah.
Wow, very neat.
Whatever.
So it was a guest coming into the studio today?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Hopefully.
Did you confirm?
If they don't flick.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but I did remember to call the guests yesterday and tomorrow to tell them there's not a show.
Good.
Yeah, so they wouldn't come here. And I almost forgot that, too.
You know what? Fuck them sometimes.
I know. For all those that flake out on us, we can flake on them, right?
I know. Seriously.
Yeah. But listen,
I'm listening.
Yeah, maybe I can tempt you with breakfast every day and you'll get there earlier.
Do we have a little kitchen there?
No. Oh. We have a little microwave and stuff. I mean, there is a little area and we'll have some water. But no, I mean, what would you want in the kitchen?
A frying pan, some eggs, and
oh,
some
is that
bacon.
What you're gonna do?
Yeah,
and stink up the whole fucking place.
Why not? Make it smell like home cooking. Everyone will love it.
Yeah, we'll just go downstairs and pick up something. Okay, we can have stuff delivered every morning.
Excellent.
You know,
I'm liking it.
We can treat ourselves. Yeah. Yeah, but I can't have you come in here 30 seconds before the show or after the show.
That was not my fault today. My GPS, okay. For some freaking reason, it takes me a different way every day.
That. And I'm not going to hammer at you, but I would have if you hadn't shown up on time because I needed something to talk about.
Well, I'm glad I came to save your day.
So I was going to talk behind your back and then have you listen to it on the replay.
What were you going to say, asshole?
Well, I was going to talk about people being late.
Sorry, some of us have other things that are going on.
Yes, that's true.
Like, finding my freaking wallet last night took precedence over everything in my life.
Yeah.
And I was almost murdered in the process of it, so...
Okay. Well, I'm not going
to
give you a hard time.
You have to be understanding that some people...
But I am understanding. Look at me. I'm not giving you a hard time.
No, you're giving me a hard time,
that's
and you gave me a death
time.
Look.
That's not a hard time. Well, I did give you a death look,
Death looks are not...
Because I figured with all these times that you get here like 30 seconds before the show, eventually you'll be late. You know,
I've only been late once.
Okay.
Officially.
Okay.
And I forget.
Before the mics went on.
That's because I had to drive to the airport. I was bringing friends to the airport in the morning, and they forgot their phone halfway down the hill.
Right.
And I had to drive like 20 miles up. Speaking of which, yesterday I went up to Malibu to that house, to Morgan, my friend Morgan's house.
Yeah.
And I got to see my old foster kitties.
Oh.
Oh, they're so big.
Is she back in town? She left, right?
No, she's in Canada. Yeah, she's up in Canada. But I went up there because, I don't know, when I was being passive-aggressive with Franz, I like took all the toilet paper out of the house. I was like, fine, you're not going to use my toilet paper that my dad's girlfriend actually bought me. Or eat any of my pasta that my dad's girlfriend bought me. Or any of my tuna. Or use my dishes. So I packed up like everything in the kitchen in my attempt to be really... really passive-aggressive, and I put it all up in Malibu at her house. So now I'm at my new house, and I'm like, I have no food here, and I'm kind of hungry. So I drove up to Malibu to go get it, and I got to see my pussies.
Cool. So you finally out of the apartment, or what?
No.
You know, this has been dragging for 2 months.
I know,
and you
I
only have, what, a studio apartment? I mean, for crying out loud.
You're telling me. But actually, yesterday, I did get in contact with someone that is going to do everything I need for me. You know, finish selling my table and my couch and, like, do a garage sale for, like, all my extra leftover clothes.
Well, that's a shocker. Someone doing something for you.
Well, I'm paying him to do it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
So he gets 20% of all the profits.
I see.
So it's worth his while.
That's true.
So.
That's true. Becoming a businesswoman there.
Well, I'm just lazy. If I were a businesswoman, I would do it myself and keep 100% of the profits. But A, I don't have the time, and B, it's just, if I go back through all those clothes that I have there that I want to sell off to the garage sale, I'll be like, well, I might wear this, and it's really cute, and it does match with this, and yeah, maybe if I lose 20 pounds, I'll fit into this again. Like, that's the worst. That's the absolute worst, is when you have all the things that you're like, well, if I lose weight, then I could squeeze my fat ass into it. So these are how women's minds work, by the way.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
You just throw on your t-shirt every day and you're
exactly.
Fine.
It's really cool. You know, jeans, t-shirt, that's it.
You're all set. You're
you know?
All set.
Yeah,
what
you don't have to worry too much.
I know.
Yeah. This morning I was so like, my mind was so many different places that I went in the shower without shaving first. And I always shave first and then shower.
God forbid the world's coming to an end.
It is. It changes
my
routine.
Oh my God.
Well, there's a method behind the madness, but...
so you get all the shaving cream out of your ear and it's not in your nose.
Yeah, and all that stuff, you know. But yeah, so we don't have a lot to prepare. I mean, I'm even lazy to shave sometimes, but I always shave. I always shave.
I know.
What more was I going to bring up? There was something that I just wanted to bring up. Never mind. It'll come back.
I wanted to bring up really quickly. I stopped by the dollar store yesterday, and this was something I meant to bring up a long time ago. As I'm checking out again, I'm like, God damn it, I forgot to tell everyone in the world. Okay, at the dollar store on the checkout counter, right next to the 99-cent condoms, you have the 99-cent pregnancy test.
Really? For 99 cents?
Yes.
Wow.
So I'm wondering if there's some kind of correlation between, if you use a 99-cent condom, you will therefore need, definitely, for sure, the 99-cent pregnancy test. Therefore, you might as well just get like a 2-for-1 deal going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you imagine, though, what are they thinking, putting these two items like right next to each other?
Yeah.
Like, did someone do it as a joke? I don't think so, because it's been that way for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, every time I go in there.
Well, I'd imagine these two products would be in the same place, though, displayed in the same place.
But not in the checkout counter.
Not in the checkout counter.
You know, I mean, you've got kids and stuff in the checkout counter. They don't need to see that shit. I don't know why, but...
Really? They have condoms at the checkout counter?
Condoms and pregnancy tests in the checkout for 99 cents.
Wow.
Now, just think about that. Yeah. It just doesn't seem right.
I know.
This actually doesn't seem right either. When I was like packing up or helping Franzi pack up and everything and get him out of my old apartment, all of a sudden all of these condoms appeared like right on my kitchen counter. I was like, babe, what are these for? Like, are you planning on taking them with you? Like, you better not be using any condom. You know, I turned into like possessive girlfriend. And he's like, no, I found them in the bottom of my bag and this and that. So I threw the condoms where all the other condoms go in my house in my knife drawer. And then I was thinking about that, and I was like, this might not be a really smart place to keep them. You know, like the knife like pokes through, and you know, you only need like a little hole.
But that's okay. It's sort of like you fit the condom on the dick, and then you chop it off when you're done with it.
The dick?
Yeah.
Well, what
with
if...
the knife.
No, no.
It's like a kit, you know?
My dad calls me Lorraine. He's like, you're going to turn out like a Lorena Bobbitt when I tell him, like, or when he sees the way Franz and I fight.
Yeah.
And, like, try and kill each other all the time.
Yeah, and cut off his penis.
I'm like, thank you, Dad. I'm like, no, that's the one part of him I really love.
Yeah.
Really love and really miss.
Yeah. You know, this reminds me of a story. Let me tell you a short story. This man is driving with his 12-year-old girl in a car. And
his daughter.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, his daughter. What did I say?
With this 12-year-old girl at his car.
Yeah, his daughter, okay. Sorry. And then about half a mile ahead of them, there's a car of a couple fighting, right? And they're really getting a heated argument and everything. And so she just reaches over, takes out a knife, and chops off his dick and throws it out the window. Right.
Okay.
Now the car with the girl and the dad is driving behind them, right? And and something hits the windshield. So the girl goes, "What was that, Dad?" You know. And he goes, "Well, I think it was a bug." She goes, "Well, that bug sure had a big dick."
Oh no.
So yeah.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah.
Was that one of those like popsicle stick jokes that you see? I'm so bad at remembering jokes. I really have to start carrying a notebook with me and write them down. Because I heard a really funny one in Massachusetts. I'm gonna have to get back to you on that one, though.
Okay,
but it's similar. It's in the same genre.
Same genre,
if you will. Same genre of like cock jokes. Oh man!
Wow, that's funny. Let's take a little break, and our guest is gonna be here soon. I hope. Mm-hmm. And so this is weird to know we're here for the last time, huh?
I know.
This is our last show at this studio.
You know what I was actually thinking most about that I felt badly about? Victor, the parking guy
right.
in the parking lot.
Yes.
I've always intended to like give him $20 as a tip at the end of every month. But I've been like, you know, broke lately, and so I haven't had it. But so then I was like, you know what? I haven't had a chance to give him a tip, so I'm going to give him a $20 tip today.
Wow, nice
just
of
to, you.
You
know, he spends all day in that garage, like, breathing in car fumes.
I know, and very hot down
very
there.
Very hot, and he always has his little, like, red blazer on and his bow tie. And,
yeah, and
you know,
he's always in a good mood.
And he's always smiling. Yeah. Oh, Susie, how are you, Susie? He's Mexican. That was an Indian accent. Fuck. Yeah. I used to be really good at accents and mimicking, but all of a sudden it's gone downhill. Like, I'll do a Spanish accent and it'll sound like Korean, like, and people are like, what? No. But so that, shut up. So that was the one thing I actually felt really badly for. I wanted to give him a tip, and I was like, I'm not going to have the chance to do that.
Oh.
So I will do that today.
Yeah, you can always drive here especially for that.
Hell no. I'm not coming down
here
for anything
nice,
else.
Huh?
No. Definitely not.
Wow. So well, this is cool. I'm just, I hate moving, you know, I mean, we don't really have a lot of stuff when you think about it. We don't have to take the furniture.
No, you don't
yeah,
have, you don't
it's
have very
just
much
like
stuff
one run downstairs, and Johnny's going to help me, so we'll move that, and then, but I need to get some new furniture for the new place and all that. And
I'm selling a couch and a kitchen table.
Oh, thank you. It's exactly what we need.
A nice, sturdy couch that's had lots of sex.
Yeah.
Wow.
How gross, Susie.
I've sprayed it with Febreze. It looks fabulous. It looks great.
Yeah, I'm sure it looks that way.
Oh, man. It smells like a dozen roses.
Yeah, I'm sure the stories that couch could tell.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. That poor, I really should just throw the fucker out.
Yeah. Spare someone the pain.
No.
Public service.
You can't make me. There are some sick people out there that would probably love my couch and spend a lot of money on it.
You think?
Oh, yes.
Why, just knowing that people fucked on it?
Oh, yeah. Ew. Some pervs out there could be so gross.
I know. Men are just like... Some men are fucking disgusting, I'm mm-hmm. telling you.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
On that note, I need a hot chocolate.
You do? Okay, because I was kind of trying to push it a little bit for when the guest shows up. But, yeah, go ahead. You need to go potty, too?
No, just a hot chocolate.
We don't need to know about that. Okay. We'll take a break and we'll be back right after this.
NFL Films presents Thanks a Lot, Janet Jackson. It's been 5 seasons since your Super Bowl halftime wardrobe malfunction changed the game forever. Thanks to you, we're still paying the price of having to endure a halftime show dominated by aging male rock stars. This year, it's Bruce Springsteen. Like Paul McCartney, Tom Petty, and the Rolling Stones before him, we can only guess the E in E Street Band stands for elderly. Yes, because of you, we'll forever be subjected to 10-minute concerts with abbreviated versions of 20-year-old rock songs that are now only heard on your local Light FM. Who will they pick next year? Simon and Garfunkel? Yay! Thanks a lot, Janet Jackson.
You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
It's intoxicating, if you know what I mean. No hesitating, slip away unseen. The sound surrounding, let it flow. I've got a green light, hey baby, I'm good to go. I don't need your anger, I don't need your pain, I don't need your answer, so I'm not listening. There's the rub, that's the catch, the whole done deal, the whole shooting match. What can I say, what can I do? Wear a different hat or pull a disappearing, act on you. I don't need your anger, I don't need your pain, let it flow. I've got a green light, hey baby, I'm good to go. I don't need your anger, I don't need your pain, I don't need your answer, so I'm not listening. I don't need it, I said I don't
Previously on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
There's something very sensuous when a woman starts talking dirty, you know? You're not expected to in society,
it's,
you know?
It's taboo.
Yeah, kind of. Give us another one. Let's hear another one. A really nasty one.
I'm not asking for love. No long language afternoons of touching and caressing. I'm asking to fuck. To take the whole of you into my ride. To tear your cock from your body with my cunt. To bathe in your cum and lick myself clean. I'm not after love. I'm asking to fuck. No soft, lovely words and feelings shared. It's better to be your whore than your lover. I want to throw you, rip away your clothes, surprise you with indecency, shove my tits in your face and beg for you to suck them. Sailors have manners compared to me. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck and be fucked.
Ooh. Wow. Ooh.
I love it.
That was good. I'm actually turned on. You're definitely a cunning linguist, you know that?
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and Susie got her hot chocolate.
Sam, I have to say something now.
Yes.
That is the 20th time you've played that exact clip.
It's not 20 times.
It's definitely 20 times.
And I do it every
times.
Once in a while.
You've done it the last, like, 8 shows in a row.
No, I have not.
You have, too.
I have not. I know what I'm playing, okay?
I guarantee it. I guarantee you played it at least once.
Okay, well, look, new listeners join in every day, okay?
Oh.
So shut up. They do this on all
shows. We need to have her call. I know, but we need a variety of different things.
Yes, but you have to understand something. A person invested some time in making this bumper, you know, so we might as well play it.
Well, we need a whole bunch that we can alternate
but
with.
But we do. Okay. But
I'm just saying what I hear from my
headphones.
No,
you're right. We need some more. But I love that one. That's why I keep playing it.
I know you do.
I can't believe that fucking poetry. I still can't get over it.
Well, we need to have her call in and give us another poem.
We really should.
So do you still have her email?
I'm sure. Somewhere. Yeah.
Well, we should research it and have her call in with another one.
Yeah. Well, she's got her... in fact, her website was something with libido, remember?
Literotica.
No, it's no? with libido something.
Or the book was Literotica, I think.
No.
Yes, it was.
No.
Literotica.
It's no.
Yeah, it
it's
is
not.
Too.
You want to bet?
I do want to bet.
Okay.
What do you want to bet?
Here, I can find out real quick, actually,
okay.
You know? And, yeah. It's not like it's important, you know, but I'll go to our archives and I'll check it out. At any rate, we're getting a lot more shows on. Check out Gina Hendrix's show. Right after us at 11, Love Life Makeovers, and she's going to have an interview with this guy, Brian something, who wrote a book called How to Woo a Bitch. A biatch. Well, you know, how do you pronounce this here?
Biatch.
The key to attracting females. So I wonder what that is about.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Yeah.
Usually all the other books are, like, I don't know, men don't usually have problems attracting bitches because most women are. Usually, seriously, usually it's the other way around.
Yeah.
All the women are getting the books on, like, how to attract Mr. Right and blah,
right,
blah, blah, blah,
right.
blah. Yeah. And it's like, you know what, I'm not going to read a fucking book.
Yeah.
Look, literotica.com.
But Ooh. That's not it.
Well, this should be it.
That's not hers.
This is quite nice.
Yeah.
Submissions. Oh, not submission. Okay, never mind.
What? Not submissions.
Oh, I just saw the word submissive.
Submissiveness.
Oh, God, my eyes are just playing tricks on me this morning. Oh, yeah. Actually, so yesterday, Eric, my ex, who's a very dear friend of mine still, he came up to Malibu with me, and he ran all of my errands with me, which was quite nice of him, because he broke his arm, so
right.
He can't really go to work or do anything right now. But so he was telling me that he was looking up different ways like to get LA Talk Radio like that are that involve me.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is Googling Raleigh. Like, people have actually found LA Talk Radio by Googling Raleigh and pussies as
really?
Two code words together. And for some reason, if you Google Raleigh and pussies, LA Talk Radio comes up.
Really?
How fucked up is that? I was like, what kind of pervert would be Googling my last name with the word pussies? That's like, I wonder if they're talking about pussies meaning my kitties?
Your kitties, because you mentioned them, probably.
Because I talk about them all the time.
Yeah.
But isn't that a little disturbing?
Yeah, it is. It is pretty disturbing.
Like, all the little code words that, like, people could type in. Like, you don't think about these things. But apparently those search engines, they come up with the darndest things.
They do. They really do. Well, you know. And listen, I can't find that poet here, so fuck it for now. But maybe I didn't list it. I don't know. But yeah, even try to figure out when she was here. Fuck it, doesn't matter. But you can find it on our, if you want to listen to those poems.
Naughty poems.
Very naughty poems. Then you can go to our website, look through our archives, and I'm sure it's there somewhere. I just can't see it while I'm talking. So we did have a couple of shows on the topless thing, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm still getting messages from people about that.
Yeah.
Still. Oh, actually, this is something else I meant to tell you. When I was in Boston and I was having lunch with my friend Scott at Michael's restaurant,
right.
Scott tells me he was going through... I mean Joe. Fuck. Damn it.
Foot and mouth. Watch out.
So my friend Joe. God damn it. Never mind. Okay. Scott. There's only one Scott in Boston, right? There are millions of Scotts in Boston. Okay. So he's the one who looks at a lot of porn and is the one that like uploads my computer with a lot of pornography.
Right. Do you really think he wants people to know he looks at porn?
No, which is why I was supposed to call him Joe, which is why I'm hitting myself right now for doing that. But so anyway, never mind, the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So anyway, he was telling me that he was going to this one website, and I forget what it is, but it's something where they have like a hot chick of the day, like doing something like slightly pornographic, but not like majorly pornographic, just slightly.
Okay.
And so he said this was the first time in my 18 years of looking at pornography on the internet that I ran into someone I knew. There was a picture of me from the Go Topless March that made it onto this website as the top hot girl picture of the day.
I love it.
And so he sent me an email link.
You
to
see,
it.
You never know where the fucking picture's going to turn up. You got to be careful.
I know. I'm going to have to get the actual website for this. Because he was scrolling through and da-da-da, and then he found the link and he sent it to me. He's like, is this you? Please tell me. Seriously. I'm excited if it is you, but please tell me it's not you, but it is you? Shit, Susie. But he's like, it's the first time ever in my life that I've randomly been looking at porn and I saw someone I knew.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? I know, I always wondered if I'm going to find someone I know.
Oh, man. Can you believe that, though?
No.
This internet is a freaky, freaky thing.
I'm telling you, there's no more privacy. Forget about
none,
it.
None. None at all.
Yeah. That's why you got to be careful where you post. Try to be anonymous in most places, you know?
Well, when you're marching topless from Santa Monica to Venice, yeah. You've got all these...
Well, it did take quite some balls to do that on your part, you know? I mean, you were probably the only normal one there, you know? I mean, the rest were like aliens or
aliens,
or very weird chicks, you know, with yeah,
or man chicks.
Man chicks.
That one man chick. Oh, ooh, yeah. Ooh. Some people should not go topless. I've changed my mind on the subject. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, should we read some news?
Absolutely.
Some garbage news?
Yes. Do we have anything interesting?
Newsworthy?
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
But I think this is kind of funny because I can't stand this girl, Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
Thank
you. You know,
God.
It's like, where did she come from?
She's famous from a sex video.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Her name is bounced around all the time. I don't even know who she is. I know she's on a reality show or something, right?
Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And her whole family has turned into, like, porn stars. They even have, like, the youngest, like, an 8-year-old or 10-year-old girl, doing pole dances on in the parents' bedroom. Because the parents, of course, have a pole in their bedroom. Like most normal parents.
Yeah.
Because that's the way you should raise your children.
Exactly, yeah.
For God's
Let
sake.
Let them see that. Yeah, so what's going on with her?
Oh, anyway, so she was voted off Dancing with the Stars last night. And that means in just a couple of weeks her booty should stop shaking.
Now, have you ever watched the show before?
Dancing with the Stars or Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
Dancing with the Stars.
I have. I kind of like it.
Do you?
I mean, I haven't really gotten into it.
It seems like the whole fucking world is crazy about it now, you know?
I mean, I never watch TV anymore, but... Back when I was bartending in Massachusetts, you know, we would always put these like reality shows on or Dancing with the Stars or American Idol, and so I would just kind of like catch a glimpse of it every now and then.
Right.
And they're actually it's a pretty good concept, like
Is
having
it?
Like
yeah.
some famous, fabulous dancer and pairing them up with someone famous that can't dance and seeing what you can actually make these people do.
Yeah.
I mean it means there's hope for everyone out there.
I suppose, yeah.
Or not.
Yeah. I know, it's like so many people watch it, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
But you know, I think I should start Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess women were more into dancing and stuff. You know?
And I've always really liked figure skating and like the Olympic figure skating events and things like that. And so it kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Oh.
It's just really beautiful. And you have to be pretty talented, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well. Oh, no.
What I just read something that Heather. I mean, did you want to finish on Kim Kardashian?
No, that's all.
Okay,
there's really never anything to say about her.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
ever.
I know. I mean, what
I can't stand when people get famous like this for doing absolutely nothing, and then they still continue to make their popularity rise by doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. I mean, you can blame our society for that. I mean, we fucking idolize stupid people.
Yep, that's for sure.
So there's more news on the Heather Locklear DUI bust. TMZ, okay, well, we got to take that one with a grain
of salt. I love TMZ.
Yeah. They say that a woman called 911 on Heather is a former Us Weekly staffer who was under investigation by the FBI. So there was a woman who called 911 when she saw Heather Locklear supposedly or allegedly swerving and driving recklessly and so forth. So that's how they found out. I guess the police found out about it. Not only did she call the cops, that's that that woman, she also tipped off the paparazzi. So the woman.
How do you tip off the paparazzi? Well, she worked for us, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
never mind.
She obviously knows them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she knows who to call. And I would imagine with those paparazzi, you call one guy and then all of them know about it, you know?
Well, why would they all want to call each other? Wouldn't they want to be the only ones there to get the exclusive pictures?
No, I hear what you're saying, but when they are always in groups, then they know, okay, I got to follow that guy and see where he's going, you know, and things like that. You know, what does he know that I don't? So I think they kind of follow each other, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So her name is Jill Ishkanian.
God bless you.
Thank you. And she was tailing Locklear. So when Heather got in her car, she called 911, even though Heather's car wasn't even moving at the time. She's also the only witness who supposedly saw Heather driving erratically, which means she likely skate. The other big news out of the
bus... Which means she likely what? Oh, skate Heather?
Yeah.
Well, if the police pulled her over, wouldn't they give her a breathalyzer and make her do like a field sobriety test and yada, yada, yada?
Yeah, I suppose. So I don't know.
So why would she skate? Because she's Heather Locklear?
Bullshit. Maybe because she wasn't moving at the time when it was reported. So maybe it's like a false something.
Well, if you're watching someone stumble through a parking lot, like tripping over their own feet and getting into a car.
Yeah.
I mean, I see this all the time, like in Hollywood and stuff when we're out on our bike rides.
Right.
You know, people will literally stumble out of the club and they're wasted and then they'll stumble into their car. Right. And I could do the same thing. I could stumble down the road and I can get in my car and I could drive just fine.
Yeah.
But, I don't drive.
So you think you should actually report someone if you see they're drunk?
Absolutely. If you see them stumbling down the road into their car.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I suppose. But I don't know. I think the police need some kind of a probable cause. But, you know. Maybe I don't know what happened there, man. The other big news out of the bust was that Heather was photographed with a pretty significant rock on her wedding ring finger. She's been seeing Jack Wagner since last year, so it could be they're about to seal the deal.
Who's Jack Wagner?
Okay, Jack Wagner used to be on General Hospital, I think, for many years, in the 80s, I think. And he was a singer also. He had a couple songs, hit songs. But yeah, I guess they're close in age, you know.
Hmm.
So I don't know. That's Heather Locklear.
Speaking of like scary things happening, when I was moving cross country from Mass to California, I was driving, you know, my little Mini Cooper, and I prefer to drive at night actually because you know you can go faster and there are less cars on the road. And
yes, it's less dangerous if you're speeding to drive at night.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Got the radar detector and I'm all set. So I was coming, you know, I forget what highway, like either I-80 or I-70, doesn't matter. And I think I was, like, in Illinois or something. And all of a sudden, there was, like, a median in the middle of the highway for, you know, it was, like, say I was going west, and I wanted to get off into this median. It's got, like, a gas station and food and restaurant. It was a left exit.
Right.
And so if you're going east, you had a left exit as well to get into the middle. So I'm, like, flying along, and I see it says, like, 1 mile ahead, this exit's coming up. Someone actually got off that exit the wrong way and was coming at me in the pitch black, flying towards me with their headlights. Like, we would have had a head-on collision if I hadn't, swerved off into the shoulder of the road.
Yes.
As this guy is going at least, like, 90 miles an hour on the highway going the wrong way.
Wow.
So I freaked the fuck out, and I called 911. I didn't even know what state I was in. I'm like, I think I'm in Illinois or Kansas or St. Louis, Missouri. I was completely... I don't know, devoid of all geography when I was driving cross country.
That's interesting. Wow.
But isn't that scary?
Yeah.
Have you ever had anything like that happen?
No.
Oh God, I freaked out. I really, really freaked out.
Really?
But I don't. That person had to have been wasted.
Yeah.
I mean, I was drinking while I was doing driving too, but I was having only 3-2 beer, so it's okay.
That's all.
Yes, yes. You know, they have different alcohol levels in the beer, so some of them are what? What?
You're fucking hopeless with that drinking.
No, I'm not. I thought I was being very responsible by doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
But you just said you were drunk.
No, I said I was drinking 3-2
beer.
Oh,
you were drinking. You're not drunk.
I was drinking 3-2 beer instead of 5+ percentage alcohol beer.
I see. Okay.
It's like the stuff you get in Utah or you get in Colorado.
How come I never heard of that stuff?
Of 3-2 beer?
Yeah.
Because they don't, well, I think in California they just have regular beer. But if you go to Colorado on Sundays, you can only buy 3-2 beer.
Yeah.
Basically, you have to drink like 5 times as much to get drunk.
Really?
Yes, yes. It was like me on the bike ride at one of the bus stops or one of the rest stops in Mexico. I'm chugging all these beers before I realize it was a promotional non-alcoholic beer. Fucking through the bottles. I'm like, bullshit. I'm like, this is such a waste of calories and space in my stomach.
You see, I drink beer more for the taste than for the buzz. And that's why when they came out with non-alcoholic beer, that was something I had thought about before. And I always thought, why don't they just make it for people that don't like alcohol, but they like beer? You know,
I never knew people. I guess a lot of people out there are fanatics and they really like the taste.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fanatic at all. But sometimes, you know, you have chicken wings and beer is good with it, or on a hot day.
Oh, I want
on
chicken
the beach
wings
or something. Yeah. You know where they have some of the best ones is at Hooters.
Hooters, yes,
yeah,
yes,
really
I will agree with that. My grandmother actually loves the wings at Hooters.
Yeah. And but that's interesting. Talking about Hooters, all the ones I've been to, they always have like these. Really skanky chicks, you know, really not attractive. But last time when we went to San Diego a couple months ago, remember, I think I told you about this, they were all fucking gorgeous, you know.
Well, everyone gorgeous in San Diego is gorgeous.
Yeah.
I think they just have like, I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's that college town, maybe, you know, San Diego State or something. You know?
Probably. And you know, those college girls, they need to make their money.
They do, huh?
You got to shake what your mama gave you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I wonder how many of them go on Craigslist and sell their bodies and shit, you know. I'll bet you there's quite a few, you know. All these chicks that find an excuse where, yeah, I'm trying to get through college or blah, 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 and I'm fucking for a living.
Just looking for a daddy to take care of me.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's too funny.
Would you ever do that? I mean, would you be like, no, not even erotic massage or anything?
What's an erotic massage?
With a happy ending, I suppose.
No.
I don't know. No.
No, no, definitely not.
Even if you were really desperate
you've
for
always,
money?
You've always been trying to push this on me. You're like,
really?
You like, yes. You're like,
oh,
if
I'm
you
sorry.
Like,
I didn't realize that.
You always say, like, if you like having sex, like, why not get paid for it? And it's like, because I'm not a whore. As our guest walks in with that note, he looks a little horrified.
Well, that's a big surprise that you're not. But that's cool.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
There's something about the way you try to look. It's getting right to me, deeper than it really should. What are you, an angel, or just looking that good? When you take your time, you are so divine. I'm not surprised, I'd like to watch you in this life. There's something about the way you look tonight. There's something about the way you look tonight. I'm not afraid to be.
best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back. Susie, you're still okay?
Yes,
you're still with us.
Oh, he's gone to a lot of the festivals I go to.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Okay, good morning to you.
Good morning.
A little closer to the mic, please.
Okay.
Yeah, you can pull it towards you, too. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Okay. My name's Nature. I'm 27. I'm part of a art installation called Emerald Installations. It was started about 10 years ago by Scott O'Keefe, and I recently joined up, and we've been on tour all year doing art installations at festivals all over the country.
So what are art installations? Tell us what those are.
I mean, they vary. I mean, it could be anything from just a small little mandala on the street, or mm-hmm. it can be like a full scale 30x30 huge mandala, like in the forest. Or we created like this cathedral space in a grove of trees at Emergency, where we built like 3 teepees. We built a huge nest out mm-hmm. of natural materials.
That's pretty cool. So it's usually stuff with nature and stuff. You sort of integrate the art into nature.
We use objects, mostly natural materials or all natural materials, lots of flowers.
Wow.
We get all our flowers donated, or we dumpster dive our flowers. And,
yeah. Now, I remember when I was in college, they taught us about Christo, right?
Yeah.
That's the artist that – did he actually start these things like environmental art, or was he merely just the most visible one?
It's actually funny. I haven't studied a lot of environmental art history. Everybody compares my art to Andy Goldsworthy, mm-hmm. pretty much, and which we considered ourselves similar but radically different at the same time.
Right.
I watched Rivers and Tides, and I was like, "That's cool," but we're totally something else.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
that's cool. So, do you guys travel around the country and you do this?
Yeah, we've been hitting mostly the West Coast festival circuit. Scott's been out to Bonnaroo this summer. I went out to Rothbury Festival and hit the big time and did a huge...
Where is that?
Rothbury. It was in Michigan, Rothbury, okay. Michigan, at the JJ Ranch. It was AEG and Madison House teamed up to throw the next huge festival, and they built it as a green festival. Brad Lyman was the lighting guy in the forest that brought me out there, and he said it was the best money he spent at the festival, so that made me feel pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Congratulations. I see you were at Lightning in a Bottle this year.
Yeah, we got a lot of great response from them. They want us back next year. They're gonna.
I was there this year, too.
did you see our installation?
I did. That's what I'm looking at this right now. I'm like, I was there. I saw that.
Totally, yeah.
What's that now?
That's the art installation. I called it C. I spelled C on the ground. Uh-huh. That was the name of the piece. I felt like we were creating like this portal to heaven. When people started coming into the space and meditating, that's when I knew we were done. I just told, hey, the Emerald, we did it again. People are meditating in the space. I think we can call it good. Because we can work on them endlessly. We don't know, you know, how it's going to shape and everything. Every piece is kind of spontaneous in the moment.
Oh, we really?
So you don't do any planning for this?
We do and we don't. I mean, because people just see a few photos and they're like, that's great. And then... they don't give us. Some people give us a budget, and some people don't give us a budget. And then we don't have cars, so it's like, and we got to get the flowers. So it's each time it's been like an action adventure, you know.
So how did you get the flowers over to Lightning in a Bottle without
that
cars?
That was a last minute thing. No, our friend Lucky, who gave Scott a ride or Emerald a ride to the festival, let us borrow her van, and then right down the street we went to Trader Joe's, and for 2 mornings we went and picked up all their flowers from Trader Joe's, and then. Use those for the installation without Trader Joe's.
Cool.
That week it would have been just mostly sticks and brush.
Yeah. Good old Trader Joe's. I love him.
Yeah. So you're dressed pretty interestingly, let's say.
Yeah.
Describe what you're wearing.
Well, I don't. The yellow top that I'm wearing, it seems like it was just designed. It's like an African garb.
Yes, like an African.
I say the universe kind of. What do I want to say? So accessorizes me, because I just get these clothes just come to me. This was free. The pants that I was wearing were given to me at a festival last year.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't planning on wearing this morning, but I spent the night at my friend's house, and these are the clothes I had, so I came.
Wow. Yeah.
But I had a presentation.
Oh, so you don't usually dress like this?
No, I mean, I go to festivals so often that festival gear just became my everyday
I see.
Gear, but it depends. Some days I don't want the attention, because some days I'm sensitive, and I don't like getting all like looked at and people just thinking I'm weird or whatever. But yeah. Now, most of the time now, I just don't care. I don't.
Yeah,
even
exactly.
Think.
You can't
like,
help it. I mean, if
feel
you
like
dress
I'm at a festival
like this,
all
yeah.
the time, you know.
Yeah. So. So this actually looks like a robe. I mean, are you wearing pants underneath?
Gold yeah. pants no, with the gold tassels.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got gold pants. That's what I noticed. That was the first thing I noticed. So tell us about the gold pants.
I was at Entheos Gathering last year in Canada.
And where in Canada?
Oh, gosh. 6 hours east of Vancouver.
Okay.
Out in the countryside. It was the first one. And this guy, this old guy who smoked like cloves, he's a big tall guy, he goes to festivals and he sets up these copper crystal grids, like sacred geometry, crystal copper grids to like channel light energy from celestial realms or whatever. And he showed up and he had this extra pair of pants and this, I have a green and jacket with some gold tinsel on it that matches it that I wear sometimes. And he just gave it to me and I felt like he was handing me like this royal garb, like it was this initiation into like heaven on earth or something. He was like, yeah. Here you go, this is your clothes now. Like, so I don't ever buy clothes really. Then festival gear just kind of comes to me.
Yeah. Wow. And he does have tassels on the bottom and
yes,
stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it looks like they once could have been a curtain.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
It looks like something from like Gone with the Wind. Like I remember like back in the good old days, like, you know, when Scarlett couldn't get clothes anymore and like Mammy, like, or Mamie, whatever her name is, like she ripped off the curtains and she like made all these wonderful gowns.
Yeah.
That's what I'm envisioning.
Well, you know, both pieces of what you wear in the shirt and the pants, if you wore them just each one alone, it would probably get some stares, but you wear them together and do you feel it matches?
I do. Yeah.
Or you don't really care if it matches.
Sometimes I don't care. Sometimes I wear things that are super ridiculous just to get people to laugh.
Really? And, yeah. Would you consider yourself an eccentric? I mean, do you...
just a little.
Just a tad.
Well, I didn't want to come out and say it, you know. But so you're into nature. I mean, obviously you get... Were you born with the name Nature or you gave this to yourself?
The story goes, I was born Nathaniel Green Hogan. I went by Nate for years. And in 2003, I did my second 10-day Vipassana meditation retreat after I had done two shamanic ceremonies.
Definitely eccentric. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the second or third day, no joke, a voice came to me and said, there is no Nate, there is only nature. And it wouldn't go away.
Really?
Like this voice in my head for like a year before I accepted the name. When I started introducing myself as nature, then that mantra kind of faded off. And I've been going by nature for 4 years now.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, but that's good, because you're pretty confident in who you are and what you are. That, I mean, because someone who cares about what people say would not do these things.
Well,
right?
I thought about it for a year before I actually, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to start calling myself nature, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that walks up to you and says, hi, I'm nature,
their parents were hippies.
You know? Yeah, or something, you know. But you're definitely into the earth and stuff, and that's where your art is.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Right? How did you get into that? Were you always into...
The story goes, I was helping co-produce and co-promote and volunteering at a festival called Metapoesis. That it was the best event that never happened. It was going to be with visionary artist Alex Gray, famous from New York City. And headlining was going to be Bass Nectar and Tipper.
I love Bass Nectar.
Yeah, two amazing underground DJs, internationally known. And we were setting up the land. I was actually helping sculpt the dance floor one night before the festival. I was helping my friend Kimo, who was driving the big cat around, like move dirt and everything. And I was a little high.
You have a friend named Kimo?
His name's Kimo. Yeah, okay. not like chemotherapy. It was just
I thought that's what it was. Go ahead.
I know, he gets that all the time.
Yeah.
And I drank like these energy drinks to like keep up because I knew I was going to be up all night. And while I was watching him do this, this was like in the forest and in this like little bowl, like in. Surrounded by trees, and I just started having visions of fruit trees everywhere and a Garden of Eden and like this huge Cobb dance floor, and Cobb's like this natural building material, and like this huge pyramid in the center inlaid with crystals. And I felt like what we were trying to create was heaven on earth. And that night I went into a trance and I started building a pyramid in the center of the floor. It was just sticks and rocks, and that's what it looked like to everybody else, but to me it was going to become like this pyramid and this dance floor and this huge art installation. And it was one of those, I just couldn't stop doing it. I couldn't stop picking up sticks and rocks and forming them.
Were you on mushrooms?
What?
Yeah.
I smoked a little bit of ganja and drank some caffeine that night, and that was it.
Put him in the trance.
Yeah.
Wow.
I let go, and I just became this open channel for this energy to move through me, and I kind of just tapped into this vortex of energy that was in that bowl in the trees. And I didn't go back to that land and create until a year later, And I created a, I didn't know what I was going to create, and I created a medicine wheel to the four directions and a tree altar. And then from there, I was just like, I just went to every festival I went to, I created something different. And then went on tour again with Emerald this year, and we set up as many gigs at festivals as possible. And this year, we really made a name for ourselves on the West Coast festival circuit. Well, and nationally at Rothbury. From Rothbury, I got booked at Coachella. And
I was looking at some pictures from that too. Those are beautiful.
Yeah, that was Scott a few years ago. He did 2003, 2004. And now we've been invited back again. I'm going to be working with Dollar Bill and the Visual Consciousness. He's toured with Michael Franti and Spearhead and String Cheese Incident.
Excellent. Sam doesn't know any of those people.
No, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
She doesn't. Yeah.
So I just have to tell you, this is funny because the other day we had someone in that was like Sam's age, and so I'm sitting here and they're talking about all these TV shows and all these actors.
Yeah, Charlie's Angels and shit, and she doesn't know any of them.
Well, I know like the name Charlie's Angels, but you know what I mean? So I'm just sitting here kind of like dazing off, and I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about. So now the tables have turned.
There you go. No, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Sounds like a bunch of savages or something. But so my question is, what is the biggest art exhibit that you've done?
Actually, for me it was Rothbury this summer. They gave me a space that was like, I'm not good with dimensions. Well, the mandala space, I did one mandala, and that was like 15 by 15 across. I don't know what the circumference was. And then there was this huge like Zen meditation garden that we created, and there was a space that was about 30 or 40 feet long, and I'd say about 10 feet wide, and I had a group of volunteers helping me.
Mm-hmm.
How to describe it? We had all this mulch and ground cover and all these pine needles, and we kind of created these wavy lines, and then we put green on top of that, so it kind of was all tripped out. And then I actually had people tap into their own creativity and just create little earth altars everywhere, because it would have taken me another week, and I only had like another day. But the day that I needed people to show up, they sent me like 10 volunteers, and I was just like, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. And then everybody that walked through just loved it. Just absolutely loved it. And I was surprised. I surprised myself. I was like, I didn't know I could do this, or we could do this, or whatever. And I had people going in there and crying and meditating and praying. And some people were just way too messed up. It was a big festival. A lot of people were really high and just trampling the whole thing.
I mean, it sounds like just your lifestyle is like you're probably floating all the time. I mean, do you ever ground yourself to the
earth? I'm moving to the Los Angeles area.
Good. That'll do that too.
Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Reno, Nevada, which I don't like to admit, and then I've been living in Portland for the last 3 years. I went to school in Olympia, Washington, and Evergreen. Okay. And I've traveled all over the country. I've been to France, and when I graduated, I traveled through Central America and Mexico.
Very neat.
So, with all this, how do you make a living? I mean,
that was my next question.
Yeah, because this is art, obviously, right. And maybe you do it for fun and stuff. So,
well, that's it. Would turn it was fun at first, and now it's become a lifestyle. And I was scraping by at first, and now I'm starting to get paid for certain gigs. I'm in LA not just to do my art, but to act and perform. Just that was my lifelong dream, and I was afraid to do it for a long time. So I was like, "Oh, LA's big, it's scary, it's weird, the industry, I don't know." Yeah. But I've plugged into a lot of the good people down here, and I've already got gigs and auditions lined up. This came my first week. Tomorrow I'm going to be on Yogi Ramesh's show, the Laughter Yogi. I mean, his show tomorrow. I'm doing an art installation at Burning Man and performing there this Saturday. And then I'm going to roll up.
Wait, at Burning Man this Saturday?
At the Burning Man decompression party. Downtown.
Oh, okay. Where is that? Well,
people have to decompress for that. It's so stressful, right?
Downtown. Somerset is in Chinatown. It's in this downtown park. I should have the address.
Can I get your information? Oh, actually, no. Go ahead.
Burning Man Decompression. Burning Man Decompression. You can easily look that up.
Yes,
Google
that.
That's all day, noon to midnight, and there's going to be an after party, too. And the next day is Elevate Film Festival.
Decompress and then elevate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sam, I'm going to be fucked up Monday morning.
Yeah.
I might come in with an outfit like this.
Yeah. There you go. Is that what happens to you when you go to those parties?
What?
You come out with an outfit like that.
Usually
you
go in with an outfit like that, come out with like no clothes or something, or who knows
what. I usually end up half naked at every event that
I go to. Half naked? I'm always completely naked.
Yeah. There you go. See, you belong together in the decompression pink, whatever the fuck.
I think it's bullshit how they always call it decompression, though. Yeah. It's just an excuse to get together and like be ridiculously silly and fucked up and crazy and creative.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like there's nothing remotely like decompressing about it.
Right.
Wow. So how did you get into this art? I mean, so you just kind of felt, you looked at nature and you said, okay, I'm going to do something with it.
No, I told you the story. Like, I just started having visions. I saw the earth in a whole new way. Everything became art. I don't know if you know the
local. But were you artistic before?
I didn't really consider myself an artist. I was doing performing and stuff, and I was writing, and I was doing open mics, spoken word, and all this. But I wasn't going around calling myself an artist. Now I feel comfortable calling myself an artist. Like, before I was like, I don't know, you know.
You obviously look very tactile. You have not had your hand sit still for like 1 second. You're just like, rah!
Well,
like,
I drank a big superfoods drink this morning with maca and cacao and shilajit.
Cacao!
Super greens. That's what I do a little bit on the side, is I distribute superfoods.
Are you on a raw food diet, or?
I've been transitioning to the raw vegan diet for about a year, and I feel amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
I had my friend Be Live, who is a raw food chef.
Yeah, I'm friends with Be Live.
No way!
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
We're new friends, but yeah.
He used to live in the hippie commune across from my apartment in Venice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Peter and everyone, and Baby Jeebus.
Yeah, we've recently become friends and hit it off, and I look forward to jamming with him.
Yeah, small world.
Yeah, the hippie circle.
My crazy hippie people, that's awesome.
Yeah, you would expect Susie to be familiar
with
that.
I go to yoga with them, too, in Santa Monica.
Oh, right on, with Rainbow?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Rainbow's class on Thursday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, if she's there, I don't know. All over the place.
I just lost Susie to nature.
I just met I just met her also at Raw Spirit Fest, and we just did an installation there.
Bela was trying to get me to go down
and
there,
we loved that.
I was in Mexico riding my bike around, so crazy.
Yeah.
So I heard you say before that you saw nature in everything, which means trash and garbage, and so
I've also been inspired. One of my influences, I call him a mentor, even though he hasn't really mentored me, Shrine, who a lot of people know from the local LA area. He built the temple at Burning Man this year out of all recycled materials.
Yes.
And our styles have a lot of crossover. And just him accepting me and loving me as an artist is just a big boost. He's just like, keep going. And I asked him for advice or a little bit. He's like, dude, you've already got your style. Just keep creating. Just keep doing what you're doing. I can't really tell you much more than that. I was like, okay, Shrine.
So what did you major in school?
I majored in creative writing and performance art at Evergreen State College. But there was a lot of the turmoil in the world at that time, and there still is. And I was wondering if that was still like my path, if I still should pursue acting, or if I should go out and try to like save the world or change the world or whatever. So I didn't really know what I was going to do, but I was writing a lot of poetry, and I was going to poetry readings every week and doing spoken word and being creative that way.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Are you gay?
What?
Are you gay?
No.
Oh, okay.
I lived with some gay people. A gay married couple.
No, I'm giving you a hard time.
No,
it's just because you've been talking about guys a lot, and I thought, well, maybe that's your circle.
I'm way into women. I've been on superfoods. I'm 27 going on 17. My hormones are raging, especially in the L.A. area.
Really?
I'm about to go freaking blind.
Yeah, you can go crazy here, yeah. They some of the women here, you can virtually cry looking at them. They're so beautiful.
That hasn't happened yet, but
I bet you didn't expect that question here. But, you know,
I don't care. I mean, I question my sexuality.
No, you don't come across. I mean, my gaydar did not tell me you are. So that's why I had to ask.
I confuse people, though.
Cool. So you grew up in Reno.
Yeah.
When did you leave there?
As soon as possible. Yeah. When I was 16, I went to France for a year, and then I got back, and I finished high school, and I left when I was 19 and went up to Olympia.
Why were you in France at 16? Were you in school?
I did a foreign exchange program. I stayed with a family for about 8 months.
So are you fluent in French?
It's been 10 years, but I can hold a conversation.
You should be.
There. Yeah.
Very cool.
Do you like the French people?
When I was there, I loved them. Yeah, yeah. They were really nice.
Really,
they're great.
You must be the only American that does.
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of sympathy for them lately.
No,
but they haven't been very nice to us, you know. Yeah. So, but that's cool. So you got to go abroad when you were young and everything.
Yeah,
that's cool. It's cool.
Where are you? I imagine you living in a teepee or a hut of some sort in LA.
It's interesting. I'm staying with my brother in Culver City. He works for Creative Artists Agency.
Oh, cool.
A multi-billion-dollar talent agency. I'm like, can you get me an agent?
Yeah.
And So I'm staying with him, but down the street, my friends live at the Water Woman Garden off of Venice and East Street, and it's like a community household there.
Venice and which street?
Venice and East.
East.
And it's the Water Woman Garden. It's like a permaculture community living there. Mm. And I have an opportunity to live and work there, but I just was at Temple Sakara last night where they were doing a Kangen Water demo with Tina Castaldi or Athena Castaldi. She's a famous, like, she started the first boot camp in America. I went to her temple last night, and they have a room opening up, and I love the energy of that space, and they're into raw food and everything, and they've got this amazing water machine at their house, the Kangen water machine that purifies the water, makes it all alkaline, and just drinking the water is a cleansing, purifying, detoxing experience. So I'm thinking, highly considering moving in there in the next few weeks.
I made that when BeLive was here. We made Sam try some raw food.
Yeah. Oh man,
he looked like he wanted to throw up. Yeah. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life, because this man, he doesn't want anything to be like sticky or anything that smells funny or this or that. He like freaks out over like the slightest weird thing, and so we're like, here, try this dehydrated tomato with blah 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 blah, and so he's just like, bleh.
Well, the tomato was okay. It was halfway decent, but then he made those cookies that were like
dehydrated
oh
cookies.
Oh my god!
Oh, were they the crackers or were they the cookies?
They were the cookies.
No, the cookies
the best,
like
man.
Made of figs and all that
oh,
stuff.
It's awesome.
You know. Yeah, but
he
look,
catered.
Like I'll have figs and dates and stuff. I love that stuff. But the way he made it, man, it yeah. tasted like soap or something.
No, it was so great, because I was having a bitchin' swap party at my house that night for me and my girlfriends, because I was moving and I was trying to like minimalize my life.
Uh-huh.
And so he just came over and he catered the whole party, and he's like, and for your first course, ladies.
Yeah.
And he's like just feeding us all these wonderful delicacies.
Right.
I'm like, this is excellent.
Yeah.
So his new book's like Orgasm in Your Mouth or something, and it's
that's
more
right.
like you're not really, you don't really think it's an orgasm in your mouth.
Yeah. Not that way, anyway.
Yeah. Sam's like more like it's a brain aneurysm.
Yeah. Wasn't that what Deep Throat was about? That this woman, she had a clit in her throat, and she needed to, in order to orgasm, she would orgasm from her mouth or something.
Whoa! Wait!
Never caught that class.
The Deep Throat. The porn Deep Throat.
Yeah, yeah. The original
classic,
one.
The original.
Yeah,
I've never actually seen that.
I haven't either. But that's what I heard.
Can
the
you
stories
check it out
about.
Of the library?
The library, no.
Right, the Los Angeles Library.
Yeah, but you can go to any porn store, I'm sure, and pick one up or buy it on
you
the
You know
internet.
What? I just might have to do that tonight for the sake of research.
Yeah.
For the sake of the show, for God's sake. We can't have me being uneducated over here.
Yeah, you can tell us all about it.
So really, that's the premise of it. She had a clit in her throat, and she had to be...
And she had to, in order to orgasm, she had to give blowjobs.
People can be so creative,
yeah.
I swear.
I know. That's like the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard, but...
Hey, it works for me.
Yeah.
Nature just went, whoa. Don't want to make our guests blush.
I'm already blushing.
Yeah. So the art that you do with another partner of yours?
Yeah, I really want to plug or pump up Emerald for starting the installation, starting the collective 10 years ago. He's not related to
His name is Emerald?
Well, we call him Emerald. His name is Scott O'Keefe.
Okay.
He's not related to
Georgia
O'Keefe, no. But I mean, he makes flower art. Like they're somehow cosmically, you know, connected. Their spelling of the name is very similar. And actually, creating these mandalas 10 years ago is what saved him his life and saved him psychologically and everything. He just started creating like that. He was living on I think he might have been living on the street. He was living in severe poverty or whatever. And this art just took off for him. And then he started creating. He wasn't really making a living at it, and that's when he started making this recycled jewelry that I'm wearing here out of bottle caps.
What is that?
Yeah, I meant to ask you about that.
It's just bottle caps.
There we go, bottle caps again.
And a little Ganesh on it. These are really blowing up too. Like rock stars are wearing them now, and everybody wants them. And they sell them for pretty cheap, like $12 to $20, depending
really?
On. And they make altar items too out of recycled cans and everything.
Right. So they have like a can.
That's
top.
A can that's been flattened.
Yeah. This is just recycled. In a bottle cap. I think it's a Corona cap, and then a little mini Ganesh statue glued on there.
Wow.
And their mission. Yeah, it's just. Create recycled.
Man, you're out there, let me tell you.
No,
you
know? I love it.
No, I mean, I'm not
grounded. I mean, I'm totally
not judging him. I'm just saying that, you know, it's unusual for someone, because your entire lifestyle is like that, you know? I mean, yeah. So that's pretty cool. Now, what are your parents thinking about all that?
Well, they were like, are you gonna stop doing this and settle down and get a job and make
some
money?
Yeah, get a real
fucking
job.
Yeah, they did that for years, but I was like, I can't do it. You want me to be miserable? You want me to be unhappy? I have to pursue this, like,
you're
whether
right.
I'm making money or not. And now they see that it's finally coming around. They've seen the pictures. They've seen the reviews. You know,
have they come to any of the festivals? That
yeah,
you've
they
been
came
to
Health and Harmony, and they watched me sit with one of my. One of my favorite artists of all time, Alex Gray, sit with him in his workshop, and we did his visualization meditation, and I wrote a poem after that about it, and I was the first one to go, and I read the poem, and Alex Gray was like, wow, that's what we're talking about, and my parents are right there, and they're like, whoa, Alex Gray loves our son's poetry, and you know, I created this huge altar for the Eco Village stage, and Scott created this great mandala, the amazing sparkly mandala. Our friend Julie put blue sparkles on it, really made it pop for the Eco Village. Yeah. And then we created this huge heart around this tree that everybody loved as well. So we did three installations at Health and Harmony, and my parents were really into that. And they saw me perform with my friend's band, Singing Bear, because I beatbox as well, and I started performing and doing that live this year.
I want to hear some of that.
Is it going to be okay?
Forget about that. What I want to know is...
No, beatboxing is cool. Is
okay, go ahead.
All right.
I know.
Sounds pretty
bravo,
good.
Bravo.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Now,
so I'll be doing some of that at I'll have a whole set at LA Burning Man DCOM. 10 o'clock.
I'm coming.
Cool. Now, the women that you date up, are they like you also, or are they normal?
It depends. No, I
didn't mean it that way.
No, I've seen attract women in the festival circuit. There's all different types. But yeah, mostly the natural
girls, ones. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm attracted to all different types of women. But I used to be into the whole like the Playboy Victoria's Secret thing when I was a kid, and now I'm more into the women that don't wear tons of
yeah, exactly.
Makeup
give me the bikini and underarm hair and all that stuff.
Not necessarily. Well,
no,
whatever.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, it really depends. It really depends.
He's like, no underarm hair.
Natural women.
I guess it just depends on the girl. Some women, they wear it really well, and some women, it's not so much. Too much.
No, I find it a turn on sometimes, you know, to look at these girls, because they seem like carefree and stuff. They're like, sure, you want to have sex? Yeah, let's do it. You know, it's for nature. And the
girls
sake of,
I hang out with.
Yeah, the sake of
they're
nature.
Like, we need to get to know each other. Are you spiritual? Like, what's going on? Do this, do that. It's like, it's this whole process, you know. And
yeah. Yeah, well, sex is spiritual, I gotta admit. Sometimes it's like a religious experience, you know?
Yeah.
It just depends.
Like, B-Live, all of his, have you seen his tattoos?
Uh-uh, I haven't seen his tattoos.
He has all, like, tantric, well, he's got one basic, like, tantric sex, like, orgy going on his back.
Wow, I haven't seen that one yet.
So we gotta look at that, and it's pretty crazy. And then he's got other ones of people having sex from, like, every country. He's got, like, Chinese people having sex up here. He's got, like, some lady from, like, Thailand with a cock in her mouth, like, right here.
Wow.
Someone being banged in the ass, like, on this arm.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. His whole body is just covered in, like, sex
tattoos.
Seems
to work for him, because his fiance is absolutely gorgeous.
The belly dancer?
Yes.
He's been telling me I need to have her come in and be on the show.
Oh, yeah?
We have a belly dancer in the studio?
Of course. I mean, now in the new studio, we can have anything we want, even alligators.
Hell yeah. Okay. Thank you. I'll call the people from...
one day we're sitting here, somebody brings an alligator to the fucking building here, and they're getting us in trouble, you know? So
we got kicked out of our studio. We're moving tomorrow for, like, various things. But
oh, well.
Noise complaints, profanity, alligators.
Wah, people getting all...
People playing guitars in the hallways and shit.
It's 2008.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what? This is a business building.
Okay.
We don't belong here. Okay. It's not that they don't belong here. Okay, which brings us to the end of the show, and just want to wrap up. Yeah, you see, time flies here. Why don't you go ahead and plug your websites?
Yeah.
EmeraldsWitInfo.
Yeah, and where we can go and see your stuff.
Okay, well, my comedy page is myspace.com/naturecomedy. Just Google Nature Comedy, YouTube, Nature's Comedy Freak Show. You can find
me
online.
You have a freak show, too.
Nature. Well, that's the MySpace and the YouTube. I did a couple mini episodes, and I hope to do more. Just need more people to watch. I need someone to film me. My friend Malcolm wants to make a whole film, because I've got like 10 characters on the MySpace one. And then our art installation website is myspace.com/emeraldinstallations.
Mm-hmm.
Superfoods website is noblelifeelements.com/nature. That's if you want like the best superfoods on the planet.
You should go there, Sam.
Yeah. What the hell is a superfood anyway?
Huh?
What's superfood?
Oh, well, cacao is a superfood. A maca is a superfood. That's a whole other.
Okay, yeah, we'll get to it sometime. Okay, what the hell, Brian?
Google it.
This guy seems like he just fell out of out of the sky into the studio, because I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Totally. But it sounds good.
I've also got profiles on Tribe. I'm Nature on Tribe.net. Let's see. What am I gonna look at my card?
What is he's gonna? He brought like a whole bunch of things he's gonna plug here.
I did a few performances on famecast.com as Nature. If you want to email me, have any questions, artnaturemusic@gmail.com. I'm not gonna give any my phone number on the radio. So we got to do that.
<Let's go.
laughs> We're doing a festival called Water Woman Festival next year. It's gonna be a permaculture festival. It's going to be awesome. Waterwomenfestival.com. Doing a retreat with Spruce Horowitz, the executive chef of Raw Games. David Wolf's going to be there. It's going to be a David Wolf retreat in Hawaii.
Oh, even David Wolf's going to be there, Susie.
Yeah,
the Sun Kitchen. I got to be there. Who the hell is he?
TheSunKitchen.com is the website. SunKitchen.com. TheSunKitchen.com. This number you can call if you want to be at the retreat. 503-421-2737. But before that, one of the best things coming up is the Rainbow Raw Games. It's going to be all raw athletes in Hawaii, the first event of its type.
I like it raw.
Athletes 80 to 100% raw from November 20th to the 23rd, 2008, Big Island, Hawaii. Rainbow Raw Games, rawgames.org, rawgames.org, 808-430-2299. You can just Google Rainbow Raw Games, and David Wolf's going to be there. Laura Fox.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. I know that's
you
right.
You sound like you should be doing it at the end of infomercial, and it's like.
Yes.
There's a lot of things I wanted to talk about and plug in.
Like recite and everything. Well, you can come back sometime.
That'd be awesome.
We'll be in touch. Yeah. You can come and tell us more about things we don't understand anything about.
Superfoods.
Yeah. Superfoods and things like that.
We'll have Feline and the Belly Dancer.
Yeah.
Really want to get the Kangen water out there. It's the best healing water on the. On the earth.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Nature Hogan, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so
much.
Appreciate
it. And Susie, of course, tomorrow we're going to be off.
I'm going out tonight and raging.
Yes, you are. And
I need somebody to take me out. So
there you go.
Come on down.
I'm going to get Susie help me move. So she can't party.
Oh, bullshit. No.
She just wants it all done for her. You're used to that, right? Okay.
I need to live up to all the sugar daddies. Excuse me. Once upon a time when I had to move and you were like, oh, Susie, do you need help moving? And I was like, actually, yeah. And you're like, guess what? I'm not available. So fuck you. Here's karma coming back to you.
Okay, great. And on that note, folks, we're going to see you Friday from the new studio. So have fun and...
Bye.
Please miss us just a little bit.